Sutra. It refers to great offering. The text refers to great offering. Yeah, that is the Brahmin lady was worried about the fate of her deceased mother who had deviant beliefs, and therefore she figured that since her mother had deviant beliefs, therefore she upon death she probably went to the bad area or fell to the evil path. So she worried about that, and so she sold her house and created a great offering to the temple of the Buddha, enlightened flower samadhi self mastery king. And so she performed a great offering. Okay, great offering is a very big deal, big event. At the temple, she would hire people to cook and give a huge feast, invited a lot of sanghas. In particular, in the old times, it's a big deal for to have a meal at the temple, because then the poor people can come and have a good time. It's their exposure to Mahayana, exposure to Buddhism, the reason for them to go to the temple. Okay? So the great offering is a very big deal for the temple. Yeah, this is how they reach out to the populace. And maybe some of them may have a hard time feeding themselves even. Now they feel comfortable going to the temple, enjoy a vegetarian meal, and bring family and get a feel. Okay? So it's very nice, wonderful event. So a great offering, not only to regular people, but her ultimate is she wants this Brahmin woman to make a big offering to the Buddha himself, this particular Buddha. And the present, the Sangha present. Sangha is Sanskrit for the level people. Okay, the Sangha present there. Okay, 现在众生, meaning that at that time they're there. That's the nature of the offering. Okay, why is that? Because this is part of the Chinese wisdom, folks. The Vietnamese do not have it. Only the Chinese have it. The Chinese have this particular wisdom where they say that Master Shihua mentioned it in his lectures. He says, in China, there's a belief that if you make an offering to 1,000 sanghas, at least one of them will be an arahant. Rule of thumb in China, the Chinese, they know that, they believe, they really believe that you get 1,000 sanghas together, one of them will be an arahant.
Will be, or?
One of them, at least one of them will be, there will be at least one arahant amongst them. Isn't that incredible? What it means, the reason is important because the Chinese, more than us, they understand the importance of cultivating blessings. So, see, their belief is they believe that it should be, if they give, make an offering to an arahant, the blessing coming back to them is so big, so manifold, that that's why they seek to make offerings to arahants. Okay? Is that in your, in Hong Kong too, or not?
I never heard about that. I wasn't a Buddhist in Hong Kong. I knew nothing about Buddhism.
So what happened is that, folks, what happened when I went to Taiwan 10 years ago to learn Chinese and learn the precepts, with our money, what happened, the custom back then is on the weekends, in the summertime, on the weekends, the few months during the year, where we go to a place, we drive our Hondas to our motorcycles to a place, park our motorcycles, and then there's a bus to come pick us up and bring us to a temple where they organize a Dharma assembly. So basically, that Dharma assembly, we go there, they recite, maybe they make an incense offering, the incense sprays, recite one sutra, we eat lunch, and we go home. Okay, that's Dharma assembly, mind you, for Taiwanese. And so on Sundays, okay, the foreign monks like myself, many of them didn't need to, we have no money. Okay? So we go there, and then we jump on the bus, and we go to the temple, eat lunch, have a good lunch, good meal, because we have any money anyway. So we have a good meal. Then at the end of the meal, they have a red envelope. Hong bao. Hong is red. Bao is envelope. Okay? So each one of us gets an envelope. So on these big deals, they would rent the entire convention center, so full of monks, to get 1,000. Isn't it cool? This is the Chinese beliefs. So those events, of course, they're free of charge. You come in free of charge because they know that the Chinese, they know that Dharma assemblies are always free of charge. Unlike the Tibetans or the Vietnamese, where they Nyekhan charges you money to come and listen to him, right? Or sometimes the Dalai Lama even charges money to come in. The Chinese, you don't charge money for Dharma in some ways. It's just a big no-no. So they all come free, but what they do is they buy these plaques, these paper plaques, the temporary plaques. Okay? So on the weekends, all the walls of the convention center is full of those plaques. Yellow or red plaques. Why is that? Why? Yeah, lots of money. But the reason being that, because if among 1,000 of us, and one arahant in the assembly, and the arahant execute the rebirth dharma or the long life dharma, those blacks, guess what kind of immense benefit you get out of it. Right? Sure, it's me doing ceremony versus an arahant. These sages, they have a much higher kung fu than we do. Right? So whatever they do has more effects. That's why all these people are coming there, instead of coming to the externalist and seeking healing, that kind of thing, we go there and make an offering, we have the arahant or the 1,000 sanghas perform the healing, those ceremonies on their behalf. Okay? So it's kind of cool business event because for the Sangha, the organizers have a lot of blacks. And for us, you get $50, $100, and a good meal. And then they, the new regular people, get 1,000 sangrins maybe. Usually doesn't get to 1,000. But who knows? Who counts? Anyway. Okay? So this is a Chinese belief. And Master Shen Huang explains that in his lecture. Do you remember that, Randy, or not?
Yeah, but going back to what Flavia said, you cannot know it's arhat when you make the offering, otherwise it doesn't count. That's right, it has to be anonymous, you know.
So nowadays, what happens, Master Shen Huang brought the Dharma to here in this country, okay, in England. So what happens is that only at this DRBA, in this country here, where you can go and erect a great offering to the Sangha of the DRBA, and it's going to cost you $10,000. At least it used to cost me $10,000. I don't know what it costs nowadays.
Well, what the purpose for? What would you say for the $10,000 for?
Make an offering of lunch.
An offering of
for $10,000, so the kitchen staff of the CTTD then cooks a big, huge feast, huge banquet for all the sangrins. Okay, so it's $10,000 for that privilege. Between us,
it's cheap. It's cheap.
For $10,000? You don't need 1,000 sangrins.
Well, you may not get 1,000 sangha.
You don't need 1,000 sangrins.
You don't.
You go to a regular. You don't need
one. Oh, that's why you don't need 1,000. Okay, so I see the logic in mind.
I should be shelling out 10,000 every week. If I have money, I don't care the gold of it. This is the Chinese wisdom, folks. Okay? So That's why you make a great offering, because the great offering, the mean and the great offering, then the temple can invite a lot of sanghas to come around. So now the Vietnamese and the other are beginning to copycat. So what they do is they also invite a lot of Tibetan monks to come to Vietnamese temples. For different reasons. Now the temples here in this country here, they invite the Tibetan monks because they do the sand mandalas. It looks beautiful and that kind of thing. But they don't understand that the concept behind the 10,000 sangrins is to try to make an offering to a sage. Then the multiply is so big. Multiply, refer to section 11 of the sutras in 42 sections. The fact that every time you make an offering, there's a multiplier that comes back. That's how you become richer. I explained that section 11, if you have a question about that. We have online people or not? Okay, good. So, the sutra in 42 section explains that the fact when you make an offering, you perform giving, there's a multiplier that comes back your way. So depending on who you give to, so if you give to a sage, then the multiplier is much bigger coming back. This is why the Chinese seek that 1,000 level people to make an offering. Because they seek to make an offering to sages. That's the meaning. Because they can't tell who's the sage. Alright? No one can. So the rule of thumb is you get 1,000 of them together, at least one will be. Got that? Okay. Now, she probably did not necessarily get a 1,000 sangha. I threw it in here because the idea about the sutra is that this is a manual of practical things you can do in daily life. Okay, that's why I'm giving you a lot more details than normal. But I thought I threw in the concept so that you understand the Chinese wisdom. The Chinese civilization has really a profound wisdom. Think about it. You know, if I had money, I'd go to the CCTV and make an offering of $10,000 and offer lunch to them. And I know for sure I make an offering to the Dharma. Great investment of my money, let me tell you. Do you really understand?
Even nowadays?
So,
Is it even nowadays? Because when you go there are not that many monks anymore.
You wait until like today, they have a celebration, okay? Then a lot of monks and nuns will be there. Can you wait for those days and offer $10,000? Usually, that's when you make the offering, so that they can have a proper occasion to them for them to gather. They invite a lot of the monks back and nuns back.
What if many people does that and they have excess of
excess of what?
Money to.
You ask Bill Gates. You ask what's the other guy? They never have enough. It's never enough for them. So you don't have to worry about that. Never enough for me. I keep on making. Keep on doing it. Good. So.
But would it have the same? Would there be the same meaning or sincerity?
You know, fun. You're spoiling my fun.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, it's supposed to inspire greed in you. What you're saying is
inspire greed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now you know the trick. Okay? The point here is that if you need to create blessings, okay, there's very one quick way to create blessings instead of going out there and rock bangs or that kind of thing.
But that's my point. With that kind of an attitude, would you really reap that the blessings that
you will. But may not, but most likely not immediately. Because if it were immediate, then what's happening is the Buddha is then accepting bribe from you. Then the sages are accepting bribe from you. Right? If it were not true, then they're lying to you. Yes.
But I think if we have the intent to make an offering to get something back in return immediately or in the future, I think that it also subdues the compounding effect too. You know, yes, there's going to always cause an effect, but the compounding might be changed.
Yeah, the multiplier. Yeah, the multiplier is a little bit smaller when it's motivated by greed. Yeah.
But it's okay to be greedy.
Every now and then. Come on, you invest, you make an investment, you get a twofold return, you're pretty happy, aren't you? Typically.
How about we execute it on behalf of other person?
Yes, you definitely can. That's what she's doing. That's what this dharma is.
Okay.
Right? She's making an offering on her mother's behalf. Okay? And she hopes that the sincere act of offering will invoke a response from the triple jewel and then transfer it to her mother. Yes?
Her mom is already gone, right?
Yes, she died.
Away.
Yes.
Same exactly. Because I heard something about, you know, feeding the animals, that it's better to take their money to feed the animals versus you giving the money to on their behalf to feed the animals.
I don't understand. Run it by me one more time. What about the animals? by feeding directly?
No,
or
she's talking about literally freeing.
What about it?
I was reading a book and it was saying that, for example, it would be better, it would be more effective to take her money to liberate life than to use my money on her behalf to liberate life.
Her money to liberate life versus your money to liberate life. What's the difference? It's the same money. It's just money.
To do it in her behalf.
On the aunt's behalf?
Right.
For example, she's very ill.
Right.
She can't get out of bed, let's say.
Right.
It would be more effective to take her money to liberate life than to take my own money on her behalf to liberate life.
No.
No?
No difference.
It wasn't one of the books that...
No, there's no difference. There's no discrimination. Discrimination is only in your mind. Whatever the act of goodness you do is act of goodness. Whether the money comes from Mr. X or Mrs. Y, makes no difference.
Oh, so we can use credit card and then...
Absolutely. You can charge it to the hilt. American Express, MasterCard, it makes no difference.
Just don't withdraw without permission.
Yeah.
I respectfully disagree. When you take the person's money that is suffering, that's their own offense and it's cleaner. Just like I think when you go through the Ursor Bodhisattva Sutra, eventually it'll come to the point where only when they transfer the merit virtue, only 1/7 goes to the deceased person. And a big part of it stays with the other person.
Yes, you can make an argument either way, okay? The point here is that what I'm directing the answer to is that the discrimination between the money has come from me, come from you. If your mind is to liberate living beings, okay, your mind is you want to create merit and virtue through the act of liberating living beings. If your sincere mind is like that. Where the money comes from doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the 1/6, 1/7 here. Okay? I'm talking about the mind who wants to create merit virtue. This is consistent with the smart aleck remark here, which spoils my fun, okay? That if you meet, you do it with a mind of greed, what kind of multiplier are you getting back? Not that big. Okay? The song is along the same line. If you sincerely want to create merit virtue by liberating living beings, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. Okay? Because the merit is the same. And then you use that merit from the act of goodness, you dedicate it to someone else. What's the difference? Whether it's that person needs a whole money, versus another person, you liberate the same amount of living beings.
Right. That quantity is fixed, okay. But what I think she's referring to and what the publication is referring to is like when we take precepts or refuge on behalf of our deceased ancestors,
yes,
it's still refuge, but it's not on your own volition. We're doing something on their behalf because they can't be here.
You can't do it.
Form.
Right.
Okay. And same thing, if a person is ill, they're suffering, well, we're suffering our karmic retribution. When we take our own financial resource to release life, it comes from that person who's suffering the retribution rather than somebody doing it on their
okay. Own. Now we move to, okay, I got you. Okay, we're on the same page. Still on the same page. Okay. First of all, we agree that if it's an act of merit and virtue, generates a certain kind of multiplier coming back. It doesn't matter where the source comes from. Agreed with that. Now, the second part of it is the multiplier. Right? That's what you disagree about. Right? You're saying multiplier is not the same. You are right, it's not the same. Because each person has a different multiplier. Depending on
sincerity.
Is it's not there to various. It's each person has different multiplier. Each person has different samadhi level. Okay? So in that case, for example, is that instead of taking your auntie's money, taking money from you from your brother? Because you probably are more sincere than her. Is it consistent in your belief? Okay, so we're not disagreeing, we're just not delineating the analysis properly. Okay? So that's what you understand too, right? Okay, fine. Alright. Any other questions? Okay. We still on slide 225. Oh, why didn't I have the F count? I should blow it up a little bit to make it easier to read. There you go. You're so captivated. You forgot, and you can't even read it, huh? Cool. Good start. Okay, number 226. Next slide. Gaze at visible image. So she made an offering. And then she went to the Buddha hall and then looked at the Buddha image, this Buddha's image. Okay, she gazed at the venerable image, and the act of gazing at the Buddha and Bodhisattva's image creates a lot of blessings, inconceivable blessings, folks. You know that? So do not take this lightly. For you to be able to go to a temple and gaze at the Buddha statue here, a Buddha image here on the wall, or behind me, creates a tremendous amount of blessings for yourself. You got that? So do not belittle, look down on the people. I may say, oh, this monk is a bad monk, or this nun is misbehaving, and so on. They're doing you a favor by opening the temple's door for you to go and gaze at a Buddha image. They're helping you generate so much blessings for yourself. Okay? So don't pass judgment. It's all good and bad. Mixed up. Okay? So, what about inconceivable blessings? There are two anecdotes. Would you like to hear them? Yes, you do. 227.
No question.
Yes.
So after you told us about the blessings, then we look at the image, do we still get the blessings?
I'm sorry? You're up to something. Okay. Let me find you one more time.
So you told us about the merit and virtue of looking at the statue.
Yeah.
Then we go do that, do we still get the blessing?
Oh yeah, you said no worry. Yes.
Lady and I remember we went to a museum and we saw some exceptionally exquisite statues that I had not seen in temples.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same for us to stand there and to be amazed by the beauty of those statues as it is to be amazed in a temple, or is there a difference because it's a house of worship?
No difference. None whatsoever. This is why, folks, this is why it's so wonderful for you to be able to sponsor Buddha and Bodhisattva images. Because it enables people to gaze at them and generate blessings for themselves. Therefore, you are indirectly responsible for generating those blessings. So you get part of those blessings yourself. That's why creating Buddha images is extremely, it's very, very wonderful. This is why the second Dharma age, or the Dharma image age, is very, very last that long, because people realize the importance. The blessing they can generate from from building stupas, from building temples, or building or creating wood images. Okay?
In sponsoring, you mean by supporting the temple who houses these?
Yeah. You know, in China, in Taiwan, in China or in Vietnam, if the reason why the temples or the temples do well for two reasons. Number one, the print sutras. You know that? I know all the tricks. It's more than just reading the flower, royal sutra, my friend. You print sutras. You need to recite it. I only need to con you to get me enough money to print sutras. I would have my own temple. Really? Because you're spreading the teaching that generates a lot of blessings, and people understand that. You know that?
Yeah.
That's why for printing sutras, we never run out of money. Always in the back is a list of the people who donate like $50 or $20 or $100 here and there. That list of people. Okay? Because it's not that hard to get money donated to the print sutras. People realize that.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of sutras. Okay?
Yeah. Printing the sutra, the next life you have, you'd be way more intelligent than average.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah.
You just like see it one time to know
yeah.
stuff, right?
So this is common wisdom. Okay. So
yeah.
What happened is that the temples,
I'm
recording this so that in the future all the level people hear this lecture understand how to build temples and how to get a temple for themselves. Okay. Because what happened is I've noticed in the past for people, they struggle, the monks, and then open the temple, they don't know what to do, they have no dharma to offer, like here. People don't come anymore. Okay? So what happened, they could not explain dharmas. They have nothing to explain. Okay? So what happened is they started to print sutras. And then all of a sudden, the donations come, and the temple gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah? Isn't it cool?
Yeah, you don't have any tricks, my friend. Don't worry, we have a lot of dharmas. Is there a difference of printing this sutra over the other, or they're all the same?
The thicker, the more blessing.
Yeah, good answer. So you have more questions?
Yes. Actually, I was thinking about printing sutra once. I called the Jingzong Xuehui and asked them about it. And then they said, when you print sutra, you want to print like a nice looking one. You don't want to print like a paperback one, because they said people might disregard them and just throw
yeah.
them all over.
It's more American version. So, the same concept. When you sponsor a statue or a temple, you want to be the best possible, because the more drawn it is, it generates that kind of response from these silly women. Okay? They go and they say, oh, it's so beautiful. Oh my God, oh my God. So what happened? They have so many more blessings for themselves. Right? And you are indirectly responsible for it. That's why it's not only because we're vain or anything, because the more adorned the sutras are, or the Buddha images are, the more admiration, the more respectful, the more sincerity it could invoke from the people, from the faithful. Okay? So that's what the sutra says. When you print sutras, or you sponsor the printing of sutras, make sure it's the best paper, or offer even a box. Back then they have rolls for the good sutras. The box are made of precious, of the seven jewels, made of gold and so on. Because for that reason. Because people look at that and people are attached to marks. They look at that and become respectful, including us monks. See, when you look at this and sutra, we have no budget. We wear this in gold leaves and, you know, and diamonds. I flash a smile with golden teeth. It invokes a different response immediately. I know all these tricks. I'm
nope.
just working at it.
Yeah.
Okay? One more question, yes. To the left here, on the men's side.
Yeah. Especially this guy.
Yeah.
Chinese over English, does it matter or? Cause
accuracy more important, not language.
Oh, so if we print like DRBA is English translation sutra.
So you want to make the proper Dharma available. That's where the great lessons come from. The Mahayana teaching is not available. Be careful what you print, not just any junk. Imagine all the people who print the wrong translation and print like picnic on his books and so on. His books are junk. And yet they still have their own temples. Imagine if you were printing like Master Shenghua's sutras and some stuff. Incredible lessons. Because it is the best Mahayana text available right now in English is Master Shenghua. So on our website, for example, now we make his materials available. We get some benefits ourselves. I don't know why you guys are so stupid. I told you to put it up low. You think, oh, this is infringing on me. It's for me.
I'll put it up to date right now.
You see, these guys are so hard-headed. I tell them to do things that are beneficial to them, and they don't get it. Oh man, you super to your problem. Your website, not mine. Anyway, any more questions?
Yes.
Yes.
If printing sutra and making some can bring money to build temple and stuff, how come master don't think about printing sutra? Or maybe he using did, all these didn't tell us.
What if it doesn't work? How do I explain it to you? It's okay for me to sit here in my high and lofty chair and say, oh, you know, print the sutra is very wonderful because it works for a lot of people I see. What if I print that it doesn't work? Well, how do I explain it to you? It's not the same anymore. It's not the same. Once I know, it's not the same. If I do it for the purpose of getting a temple, that's not, then I don't want to do it.
So you're telling us now is letting us know it's not the same if we do it now.
If it's motivated by me. Because if I do all these things for the sake of getting a temple or getting disciple or getting fame, that kind of thing, that is worldly dharma. It's no longer transcendental dharma. I don't do that. That will happen naturally. Okay? Things happen for a reason. Things happen because of conditions. You don't need to force them. Because deep down in my heart, I know where you're concerned. Deep down in my heart, I know that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are watching over us, watching over me. I have nothing to worry about. Trust me. I will do my part. I do my work. I will shovel the snow. I will do putting the grunt work and clean the restrooms and you know, and all those things because that's what I'm supposed to do. But then I don't worry about whatever, about the outcome. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm going to wait until you know, the apple drops in my mouth. Okay? I will do my work. But it's going to happen naturally because it's going to happen at the most appropriate time for me, for all of us. But we still need to do our homework. We do not take anything for granted. Okay? Because let me tell you, if I want blessings, I know there's one thing that generates so much blessings. I see responses time and time again. You recite the Flower Adornment Sutra. Incredible bless. Because this is the knowledge, Mahayana knowledge. The king of sutras. That's why I told you about the example of a monk. Who recited the Flower Adornment Sutra for 3 months, and he got somebody walked in his temple and wrote a check for $1.5 million to buy a temple. that's not the only examples I have. That sutra is incredible. And Master Shinhwa explained it in English for us. Isn't that incredible what Master Shinhwa did for us? Okay? So even though people who even though when they sit there and recite the sutra, they still obtain such inconceivable responses. And for me, I just can't bring myself to do it for the sake of getting a temple or getting something back in return. To me, it spoils my fun. Okay? But it's important to talk about it so that people know about these different dharmas and that they maybe someday they get a response from it. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. I just, personally, I just, it doesn't turn me on. It's not, I'm above it. It's just, it's not my fun. Okay? Yes?
Next month at CCTV, they have the Avatam Sangha Sutra recitation. Yeah. It takes 3 weeks to complete reading the sutra once.
Yeah.
It's a long sutra.
It's an incredible sutra. Incredible sutras.
They do it in three languages, Chinese, Vietnamese, and English.
Yeah.
No, they separate, I think.
No, it's starting tomorrow.
One book do it in English, the other
there's three groups.
Chinese,
yeah,
three different halls.
Yeah.
Right. Chinese, the biggest hall, and they have English hall, and they have Vietnamese as well.
You do the whole day, nothing but recite the sutra.
Incredible. That sutra is incredible.
Excuse me, where is this?
That the city of 10,000 Buddhas.
In your car.
I'll try to make it.
Yeah. Starting tomorrow.
Okay, any other questions? You see, you shouldn't be attached to what you hear. All those are because we look back and say, okay, this is what happened. That's, you see the cause and effect for us to understand why, how wonderful the Dharma is. Okay. But that is transcendental as long as not motivated by greed. Okay? That's important to understand that Mahayana is not tainted by greed. Whatever we do in Mahayana should not be tainted by greed. That is Mahayana. If you read the Flower Dharma Sutra for the sake of getting something back in return, getting a response, that is greed. That's no longer Mahayana. Okay?
But I have a catch-22 is now, you know, that when we do things now, like, we know that we do, like, for example, if we do good deed, we shall gain merit, virtue, or blessings.
Right.
But then, the instant that you are doing a good deed, you remember that phrase that you're doing a good deed, and then you sort of cancel out your merit, virtue.
No, not necessarily. You're aware of it doesn't mean, being aware of it doesn't mean, As long as you do not rise to a thought of greed, you're still safe.
Right. You can't let anybody know. You can't brag about it.
Right. You still are alive. You are aware of what's happening. Okay. Just don't say now I know I should do more of this and not. Yeah, maybe now I know I should not. I should go to the DRBA temple and give $10,000 instead of giving $10,000 to the next temple. That is greed, right? And that is no good. Your multiply is not as big. So far, so good? Yes.
And the added benefit to that, not only to not to brag about it or not to tell anybody, is to do it anonymously. Don't let anybody know that you're doing it for them. So if you keep that totally within your sincerity of your giving,
then this. You have so many blessings already. Don't worry about it. You know, look at the statue. You come and watch it and gaze at every week. Come on. Why do you have to worry about blessings? Huh?
That's another question.
Okay.
What is the condition of why gazing at statue will ultimately give you blessings?
Yeah.
anything wrong with taking pleasure in doing good.
Yeah.
What's wrong is if you expect quid pro quo for doing good.
Right.
Just still good.
Yeah, it's still good, but you know, that you expect something back from it.
That's greed.
That's
that
greed.
Is greed.
Right.
That's not Mahayana. Then you don't understand anything yet. Yes.
So this is more in depth. So
looking for his recipe.
if I'm doing good and I know that I might get some blessing and I'm stuck there, is it?
Why need to stop?
No, stop.
Oh man, is that the thought?
At the thought of saying, okay, I know that and I will get some blessing and that's where I stop. I don't
it happens that. A lot, doesn't it? Nowadays.
Yeah.
it happens. It's so quick. Your mind is so quick.
Of course. Of course. Your mind is very quick. Your mind becomes aware. It's, oh, gee, this is wonderful, right? This is great. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But not, as long as it's not tainted by greed, you're still okay.
You always have that moment to stop and look at your motive.
Okay? What I'm teaching you here is that nothing wrong with understanding, because if I were to explain the views of that to make you more greedy and you will make more offerings and so on, it's not my point. My point is that I explain the views so that you understand the tool available at your disposal. Okay? Every time you go to the temple, you look at the temple, you bow, you generate so much blessings for yourself naturally. Whether you know about it or not makes no difference. Okay? What's important is that the whole point behind it is that you know about it and then you do not become greedy for it. That is wisdom. So you resist this temptation to walk down that road of getting more, hoarding, or analyzing and manipulating so that you get the best of it. And that's worldly. We're beyond that. Yeah, you don't have to. Why not? Before you're doing just fine. Scheming for it is not going to help. It doesn't help at all. Yes, question.
Oh, Jack can feel it's online.
Okay. They're online now?
Yeah.
Tough luck. They have to listen to the tape about the blessings thing, and we're moving on. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so gazing at a Buddha image or a Bodhisattva image generates inconceivable blessing. We are on slide 226. Okay, there's some anecdotes regarding that. Okay, on slide 227, what happened? 227. In the past, in the time of emptiness came thus come one. After this Buddha passed away or entered Nirvana, there are four bhikshus, the four monks who cultivate together. And they cultivate very vigorously. Okay. As you probably know by now, if you cultivate vigorously like the way we do, you have a lot of reflections. Okay? So what happened is that the chi builds up in your dandiya. Okay. And start flowing and creates all kinds of the pressure builds up and these outlets. Okay, because of that, these affliction get these monks overwhelmed and they wanted to create evil offenses. Just as about they're about to create evil offenses, they suddenly hear a voice in space. Okay, they say, "Big shoes! Hurry inside the temple and contemplate the Buddha image, of that particular Buddha's image. And contemplate as if the emptiness being thus someone is still in this world." So the bhikshus, in the spur of the moment, obeyed the instructions, got inside the temple and gazed at the Buddha, at the white hair mark of the Buddha. And they further thought that, oh, it's as if he's still with us, the Buddha is still with us. Great hero, please extinguish our offenses and defilements. Okay, they have this problem, big problem. Okay, they want to create offenses. And now they say, Buddha, we have this problem here. Oh, this is so wonderful. It's as if you're still with us, and please help us overcome our problems. And because of the contemplation of the image and repentance, and their repentance, they realize that it's wrong. What they want to do is wrong. Okay? 800 million kalpas, they didn't follow the evil path, and later they accomplished Buddhahood. Got that? See, they're about to fall. They're about to commit offenses. Okay? And take a big fall. Something happened and they voice advised them to go to a temple and gaze at the Buddha's image. They did. Upon gazing at the Buddha's image, they felt remorseful for what they were feeling. So they asked the Buddha, please help us overcome this thing here that's building up inside of us. Okay? And that's it, they stopped. They got a response right away. And for 800 million kalpa, that's a long, long time, they never fell. And they later accomplished Buddhahood. You got that? Mm-hmm. Yes.
At the beginning of class in February, you mentioned that you were at Long Beach Monastery with looking at Master Xuan Hua's statue.
Yes.
Was it the same thing as
the I'm not a Buddha yet, but got the question?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You mean her question or my question?
No, her question. What happened is, let me repeat that. What happened is that let me tell you what happened to me. When I was Long Beach Monastery, towards the end of my stay there, I got into a fight with the monks. Back then, I was a Shani. I was a novice monk. Okay? So I got into a fight with them. And I was very afflicted. So I said, I have this big problem here. I was one against the entire temple. They're all against me. Okay? So not a good position. Okay? When you, especially, you are a novice monk, which is a nobody in our hierarchy, against ordained monks. Not a good thing either. And one against 40, not a good thing either. I was very afflicted. So I said, I have this problem here. I don't know what to do. So, because I was under attack and all kinds of bad things are happening. So I never ask for help. No matter what happens. I never complained, never asked. So one day, I walked by the ancestors' hall, the patriarch's hall in the second floor. That's where they have a statue. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite statue, Master Xuan Hua.
Yeah.
One day, when I have my temple, that's the one that one statue I would have in the patriarch's hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a statue of him sitting in chant, in meditation. Eyes almost closed, just open, barely. You know that statue in that hall?
Yes.
You've seen that?
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Yes.
Because it is, I love it because it is a statue of someone in samadhi. Okay? Kind of a beautiful statue. And I looked at the statue, I went to the Buddha hall, I went close to the statue, I said, Shifu, I'm in big trouble. What do I do? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is actually up here, I was here and said, Shifu, I'm in trouble. What do I do? Okay? It happened to be by, and I'm at the end of my rope. I didn't know what else to do. There's so much you can take, no matter how tough you are, right? you are at a breaking point. I was at a breaking point. So I went in and I said, Shifu, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. What do I do? So not place a statue like this? I saw the statue. I have almost lost looking at him. I got the answer. Medium. Okay. He saved me medium. You know what the answer was?
Go somewhere else.
Thank God for novices. so naive. You're charming, you have no choice. You take the meaning. The training is very interesting as a level person. You become a novice monk, a novice nun, to learn to take a meaning. You know that? That's the training. This is a secret of our self. You learn to take a leading. That's why we become very tough. Because if you can take a leading from these guys, who has higher level Kung Fu or all the wisdoms, if you unleash you out there, what else can help? What else can do others do with you? Hmm? You can take a leading from me. Right? Like, some of you took a leading from me. After that, you look at your mother, your father, and say, oh, is that all you got? Right? Everything else seems so insignificant. That's our training. Okay? So I was pushed to the end of my rope. Couldn't take it anymore. I was going crazy. I would have to do something about it. Got to see him. He said, stay in Samadhi, my boy. Isn't that beautiful to teach it? That's the meaning of the statue. That's the benefits. That's a smaller benefit of gazing at a Buddha or a Bodhisattva image. All my affliction went instantaneously. Oh. And then I begin to understand about emptiness. All of that is not real. You're making it real. I'm making it real. Understand the saying now? In the world, what was this? The Chinese statement I sent you? Remember? Tian xia, wu you, yi shi. Yong ren, zhi rao zhi. Okay? Under heaven, there is not a single thing. Mediocre people disturb themselves all. That's the meaning of that verse.
There's nothing in under the sky.
Tianxia, under heaven. Under heaven, because the Chinese term says heaven and earth, and men in between. See, not women, men. Maybe she's laughing.
I mean, Tianxia could have been translated to world instead of under heaven.
Under heaven, because see, heaven is the authority over mankind. Okay, earth is what man treads on. So between heaven and earth is man. Only men only fear heavens, the heavens. That's the Chinese wisdom, Chinese view. Okay? Alright, any other questions?
So is that There's nothing to fear, is that?
Under heaven is nothing, not a single thing. Not a single thing. It's
so there's nothing. Under heaven, there's nothing.
There isn't a thing. There isn't a thing.
Okay.
It's us mediocres.
So we disturb ourselves.
Actually, Yong Yan is
like
ordinary people.
Yeah, I'm
looking for trouble for themselves.
Not ordinary people.
They create Yong Yan.
Yeah, Yong is mediocre, average.
Yeah, I mean,
Jung is average, but you can translate it as mediocre. Okay? It depends. There's the average and then there's the mediocre. I choose mediocre. You guys choose average. Because I'm reminding you. Do you look at yourself as mediocre or not? It's not average. I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you about mediocrity. You disrupt yourself. Because you're mediocre. You disturb yourself. If you still see affliction, you still see disruption, disturbances, mediocre, don't be so proud. That's an insult, by the way. Just in case you don't get it.
Because
she still doesn't get it. She refuses to get it. I cannot believe this woman.
But that's right. If we don't get it, then we can't move.
That's right. It kind of bothers me.
It's a natural samadhi. You have to work for it.
Okay. Slide 228. That's what they're describing here, guys. Yes.
Master, you mentioned that afflictions arise from the dandin. Is that why you ask us to center ourselves when we have issues cross our legs and sit until it goes away?
Not always rise from the dandin.
No.
I didn't say that. Sometimes it comes from there, it's not all. It comes from everywhere, actually. The friction has no fixed location. But when I said mentioned to you, it's for the particular time, the point in time. 228. Guess who those four Buddhas are? Akshobhya, or Medicine Master Buddha? Jewel Production, that's in the southern part. Limitless Life, which is Amitabha, and Godhead Buddha in the north. That's from the four pictures. Look at that. From gazing at the Buddha image, called emptiness came first come once, four pictures became Buddhas. Now we recite their names. On Saturday, it's Akshobhya, Medicine Master Buddha. On Sundays, And on the Pure Land is Amitabha, number 3. Isn't that cool? The second anecdote of the blessings from gazing at images. The Buddha name, jewel, awesome, virtue, superior, king, thus come one. And the bhikshu came to his temple with his 9 disciples, bowed and praised. A jewel image. What's praise jewel image? That's what we do every morning. We do an offering incense and we say the Buddha body of a golden color and so on. That's a praise. That's what we do. Okay? At the end of their life, they're all reborn by transformation into this Buddha's land in the east. So reborn into this Buddha land. Okay? On a large lotus flower, they all practice pure conduct, obtain the Buddha recitation, samadhi seed. Okay, that's a form of recitation, Buddha recitation, samadhi. And the Buddha gave them predictions and all became Buddhas. So that's there's a Buddha right now and his 9 disciples are also Buddhas.
Why is it called Samadhi Seed?
just the name of the particular samadhi. Profound as the sea, vast as the sea, deep as the sea. Okay, any other questions? Slide 230. Then the Brahmin woman wept for a long time with low head and then fixed her gaze on the Duskam one. Suddenly, a voice was heard in space saying, "Oh, weeping holy woman, do not be so sorrowful. I shall show you where your mother has gone." No Vietnamese, so we skip the Vietnamese here.
Yes.
This woman here, the Brahmin woman wept. She's signing, actually, the English translation lost a little bit of the meaning. She wept, she sobbed silently for a while. Okay? So the wept here is crying without making any sounds. And the text refers to her as a holy woman because of her good roots, and she was of utmost sincerity. So far so good? Next slide. The Brahmin woman placed her palms together towards space and said, "What divine virtuous one is this who comforts my grief? From the day I lost my mother onward, I have held her in memory day and night. But there is nowhere I can go to ask about the realm of her rebirth." Slide 234. Moving on. Okay. And this illustrates the concept of filiality in the Chinese culture. Okay. In the Asian culture. Because there is a verse that says, "The tree desires to be still, but the wind will not stop. The sun desires to provide support, but the parents are gone." All right? Is it well known for saying Chinese?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the Chinese word?
Shu Yu Jing E Feng Bu Zhi. It says Shu Yu Jing E Feng Bu Zhi. Zi Yu Yang E Jing Wu Zai. Where the hell? My Chinese is that good? Okay, so it says here that the trees wants it to calm down, but the wind will not stop. It's beyond the tree's control. The sun desires to support the parents, but they're no longer around. So what have we done to repay our parents' kindness?
Usually this is a kind of a warning to the children to be respectful, take care of parents while they're alive.
Yes, they still have a chance.
Yes, yeah. This is what the situation really is usually quoted.
Yeah, but now it's no longer quoted, right? You just get, until they get their inheritance. Okay, chapter 1, to slide 238. A voice again resounded from space and declared to the holy woman, "I am the one whom you behold and worship, the past enlightenment flower, samadhi, self-mastery king, thus come one. Because I have seen that your regard for your mother is double that of ordinary living beings, I will now show you the place of her rebirth." Slide 241, the response. The Brahmin woman obtained a response from the Buddha from her utmost sincerity because she really cared for her mother and not for herself. And the funny thing about the response is there is it comes in the form of a sound, and yet there is no form. Just a sound in space. see, this is what the sutra, I've been reading the sutra for many times now, and now you, until you have to explain and begin to pay attention to the subtleties of the teaching. The sound in space, but there's nothing to be seen. Okay? So you actually are meaning the symbolic meaning there, you manifest production without production. Okay? No form and yet there is sound. So the reveal extinction and yet there's no extinction. Okay, good luck. Any questions? Never mind. Slide 242. On hearing this voice, you just have to hear it so that you see there's a deep, profound meaning behind the sutra here. More than you think it's a simple manual or what, where you learn a few tricks here and there. This sutra is very, very profound. Okay? The sutra, the Buddha explains the sutra in this way, even though he makes it very, very simple, and yet behind it is concealed very profound meanings. Production without production, extinction, and yet no extinction. Okay? You get it eventually. On hearing this voice, the Brahmin woman, we are on slide 242, suddenly leapt up and fell down, breaking all her limbs. Those around her picked her up, and after a long time, she was revived. She spoke into space and said, I hope that the Buddha will be compassionate, have pity on me, and quickly tell me into what realm my mother has been reborn. My present body and mind will perish not long after this. Ah, slide 245, skipping on the Chinese and Vietnamese slides text. Oh, by the way, the Chinese text comes to us courtesy of corrections from Danny Boy, because he caught some mistakes on the Chinese text. Let me tell you, the DRDA, not this time, but next week it will. The DRDA Chinese text is very inaccurate. It has missing text, it has typos left and right, it has additional characters that's not supposed to be there. I'm recording this so that I hope that somebody in the RBA Chinese group section need to revise the Chinese text because I see a lot of typos. Okay? So I caught some, Danny caught some, so next week, not this week, in slide 263, he caught one extra character. Okay.
You don't have to report that.
It's Danny's son, by the way.
Did you say yesterday when we listened to the sutra, we should not bring the mind of looking for errors? I think I remember that yesterday. We on that piece of paper.
You should not. I must report inaccuracies. So I'm going to ask Danny in the future to look at the rest of the Chinese slides and check, because then at least we make sure at least our slides will be correct, will be accurate as far as the traditional text is concerned. Okay? But never mind about the English and Vietnamese. Okay, we have no control over that. Yes.
How do you know it's correct or not?
We have a reference source against C. Bailey. C. Bailey is probably the most accurate source right now. C. Bailey is the electronic text of the Buddhist canon. Okay, until told otherwise, I take that as the most accurate source. Okay? So this kind of thing here is totally unscripted as far as the thing that happened. In a state of extreme anxiety, she leapt up and broke her bones. Can you imagine? And yet she still only thinks of her mother in the midst of great pain after she was revived by her attendants. Okay? And she knows that she cannot live much longer. The pain is too much. The anxiety is too much. The body can't take it much longer. That's why he asked the Buddha to quickly tell her before she passes away. Right? Slide 246. The thus come one, one with her Vietnamese and flying. The thus come one enlightened flower samadhi self master king spoke to the pious woman and said, after the offering is complete, return home quickly. Sit upright, thinking of my name, and you will certainly know your mother's place of rebirth. After she had finished worshipping the Buddha, the Brahmin woman returned home. When mindful of her mother, she sat upright, recollecting of this someone's enlightenment, flowers, samadhi, self-mastery, king. We are on slide 249, yes.
Question, how do you distinguish between utmost sincerity and the demonic state?
You can. Okay, you're so close.
Really?
It's just like stepping over the line. That's a thin line dividing. That it? Does it answer? Does it make you any happier, huh? Okay.
So,
it's a very interesting point, though. So I've had it quite a few times. People come to me with what appears to be incredible sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
But what they want is they just want to take advantage in some way.
Yeah.
And it's not since it's all calculated and figured out somehow.
Yeah.
And I would say it is a demonic state. It manages to look sincere, act sincere, say the right things, and yet the motivation is
just I tell you a secret behind that. They really believe that's why they're so sincere.
Yeah, that's I take that too. Yeah.
You got that, Danny? They really believe it. That's sincerity. They really believe in the evil thing. That's their truth.
That's how they beat the lie detectors, you know. They practice that, and guys have told me, like, you know, when they testify, they stand in front of the mirror, keep repeating the lie over and over, looking
and really believe
posture, and you have to have that full 100% integrity. That's why when you see, like, the actors, they're really good, they become that energy.
That is why it's called demonic, because it is so true to them.
Yeah.
You cannot say it's not true, because they really believe it. It's demonic because no way you can touch it. It's their truth.
What about the victim, Master?
Too bad.
She had a few peers.
But is that correct that they are a victim?
Sure. It's true.
They are a victim.
Sure. Sure. Somebody has to got to lose. Demons do not get involved unless somebody has to lose. Does it answer your question about demonic and some extreme sincerity? It's not that much different.
Yeah, so when you cultivate out, it's kind of, you can't really tell if you are just being sincere or you're actually entering demonic state and you just keep cultivating.
It depends on what your original intention is. It's a very good question. It may sound stupid. But it's a very good question. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Right.
You know? It has to do with your intent.
Yes.
That's right.
If your intent is off, like to cultivate to get spiritual penetration, like Master Shinhua said this, is if you're off in the beginning and 10,000 miles, you're falling way off the path.
That's it. It's too late.
Yeah.
By the time you reach a level, if your original intent from starting point is deviant, by then it's too late. Too much work to undo.
So if I cultivate to form a blessing, then I'm off on that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get them.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, that's
wrong.
Yeah.
You trap yourself.
Yeah. So do you remain a cynic?
I started like that too. I said, never mind about
we all started that.
Because that's all we know. Come on, folks, that's reality. This is our existence, okay? We cannot make a move unless we see it's beneficial to us. Agreed? 100%. Come on! You're not fooling me, okay? I know you're up to something. Let's face it, right? But eventually your wisdom unfolds, you begin to let go of all these icky stuff.
Yeah.
And that's cultivation. Come on. And that's what we call purification. We purify ourselves, we correct our mistakes. That's all. And that's why I thank God for the Buddhas, if you don't mind the expression, because the pun, because they look at us and say, oh, here he goes again. But then they don't pass judgment. They don't say, I'm not listening to you. I don't take you seriously. They still help us. They still take us seriously and go all out to help us get what we want. But then eventually we have enough wisdom to begin to understand that, maybe after all it's not that important anymore. The closer you get to it, you change. Cultivation, folks, is many lifetimes. It ain't going to be one lifetime. I can tell you that. The reason you're here today, folks, I will tell you this, is because you heard from me before. It's not the first time. It's not the first time we're together. I'm telling you that.
Is it by experience?
It takes a lot of blessings to hear one word Mahayana. It takes a lot of blessings to be able to do for you to hear about the fact I explained about gazing at the Buddha statue. Incredible blessings. Okay? So, yeah, you were making some kind of a smart comment, you know? Yeah?
Oh, was that like an educated guess, or is that the... kind of know all, so you...
Typically, you cultivate. People cultivate together because in the past, you create conditions for that to happen already. In the past, RJ said, yeah, once a room maybe for me. In the past, we got together to cultivate Mahayana, and then we enjoy the cultivation. Mahayana, the more you cultivate, the more fascinating it becomes, doesn't it? You. Yes or not? Are you truthful now? Are you sincere? Or is it demonic?
I think it's sincere, but
maybe. I can't tell. Right. So, what happened is that for us to cultivate Mahayana together here, investigate the principles, because I'm learning just as much as you are, okay? Because I have different sources of learning, so that I need to investigate it so that I understand enough so that I can explain it to you. So I'm learning, just like you, okay? And when I explain it to you, your response and your feedback confirms whether I understand it or not. So it's helping my learning. Okay? And so we created conditions for us to get together and investigate the dharmas together. Because if it were the first time, we would not have repeats. We would not come back. Having like this lady this morning, that's the first time together. And that's all she got. So she'll come back in maybe another few more hundred lifetimes. She'll come back for the second time. Another 1,000 lifetimes. She'll come back for the third time. And then maybe a little bit longer each time for us to get together on a regular basis like this. These tremendous conditions. Okay? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear that. Is it my spiritual powers? No, it isn't.
Now,
things like someone was something in a past life.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's knowledge of past life. That's one form of spiritual power.
Okay, I was going to ask, where does that come from him? To be able to see that.
He has that spiritual power.
That I would be something before I was this.
Yeah.
Or like Flavia was talking about a young girl who was.
He's not the only one. Many people have that ability. That's called the six spiritual powers. The knowledge of past lives. Su Ming Tong. Okay? That's eventually you develop it. It's not
well, that's something that we all have.
Yeah, we all have.
Oh, I see.
We all have. We just can't access it now.
And he's developed, yeah. He developed it.
But as long as we have spiritual powers, folks, I need to point out to you, it's a very important thing here. You need to understand our approach versus others. Okay? For the externalists, remember yesterday, you have to listen, you have to help him get him burning a few CDs, especially yesterday's lecture about the Master, Medicine Master Buddha lecture.
Okay.
Yeah, for the old part. I mean,
what are you saying?
I talked to him, he said, a lot of material, Master Shirinong material is on MP3. He said, so you want me to, you forcing me to modernize now to learn Mahayana? Doesn't even have an MP3 player, can you imagine? And I thought I was backward. Anyway, so, what was that?
Spiritual power.
Oh, spiritual power. Because yesterday we talked about the other, is Jack online now?
Yeah.
The other guy was able to see, have images of the nature of the ailments of his patient. Right? That's a form of spiritual power. He developed the ability quite a while back because he started cultivating when he was pretty young. Alright? So you can see that, but I explained to you is part of the picture only, it's not the entire thing. So that spiritual power is limited, right? We have ranges of powers, all right? And what happened is that for them, it's an end goal. They want to cultivate because they want to develop that superior ability, if you will. All right? It's not our approach. We do not emphasize developing those abilities because they're not our end goals. Our end goal is wisdom. Okay? The spiritual powers are simply tools that to be used for a particular kind of application. But we develop the knowledge and how to use wisdom, how to use this tool. That's what you want to do first. The wisdom has to be there first before you have those tools. Otherwise, you will abuse those tools.
And they just become tricks.
They will get you into trouble. They will bring trouble to you. For example, so let's see, that guy saw all these things,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he said, oh, this is cool, then I can do this to fix that problem, right? So he gets engaged deeper in the process of meddling into others' affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he tried to fix a guy with AIDS, and guess what happened to his finger? I told you already.
Mm-hmm.
It all swollen up. He did not use acupuncture, acupressure, by the way. He used mantras to deal with it. Okay, to fight with this demon. And he always taught a lesson. So swollen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is an example for you to see that that knowledge brings trouble.
Without the wisdom.
Without the wisdom. Okay? So for us, Mahayana is more, I explained to you that already before under those slides. But Mahayana is this. as long as you, your spiritual powers, are accompanied by the three poisons, greed, hatred, and stupidity, okay, that is worldly dharma. Okay? If, in other words, if you have spiritual power, right, and you still have greedy mind, that spiritual power is very limited and it will bring you a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches eventually. At first it's glamorous, so seductive, but eventually you will try to reach way over your head because that power is limited. You only see part of the picture. It's the part you can't see that will bring you great hassle, great trouble. By that? Okay. So that's why in Mahayana, what do we do? We don't go for spiritual powers. But what do? We get rid of our greed, hatred, and stupidity first. Then the spiritual powers we develop after that, after we purify, then is complete pie picture. Got that? So our spiritual power is much faster.
In school, that you can see the palm reader, the fortune teller, you know, in prior lifetime, you go to the Chinese, many of those Chinese or Indian fellows, they never have that ability. Prior lifetime, you were a doll. It's not really true. One lifetime. So what's the big deal? It is spiritual power.
I don't need to know. I don't know what the purpose would be.
But the ratio be two lifetimes, three, four. Buddha says all the way back. Okay? Because it is unconditioned. Their spiritual powers are conditioned. Yes.
Do you reach the wisdom faster or you can develop those spiritual powers faster? No, because that makes a difference. If along the way you get the spiritual power before the wisdom, you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. I am sorry to be sarcastic, but you're right, I shouldn't be sarcastic. Should I? No, I'm kidding. Okay, now, it happens naturally, because spiritual powers, until you stabilize, it comes and goes. Okay? So, if you're on the right path, when it comes, you're not attached to it. And they go, you're not attached to the ether. And you say, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I lost it. Okay? So you're not attached either way. Then you're still okay.
Just, the example of Hongdan, the people who try just to get the...
They have to ask the body to travel.
Ask the body. Yeah. I mean, after like 10, 20 years, I have friends who can do that.
Yeah, and so what?
So, that's because... when they reach that before they have their wisdom, that's when they get into more problems.
When you get in, when you have samadhi power, folks, you can develop spiritual powers. Before you reach first dhyana, you can't. You can't develop it. After you reach first dhyana, you can develop spiritual powers. You go for it. There's a way to do it. Okay? And it's well documented by the Taoists and the Hindu and so on, whether it's the chakra thing or the chi thing or whatever, they have their own tricks, if you will, to develop it. Like, for example, that acupuncturist yesterday, he has the way to manipulate chi to open his eyes to see it. Okay? But he's been like that for a long time now. So. So anyway, so you naturally develop and then you lose it, and then, but again, you just move along. It's no big deal. Okay? Any other questions? So there's no time to rest. Then we have slide 249. She managed to finish making the offering throughout with a very painful body. Think about it, folks. Your legs only hurt now, and you're bitching already. This woman broke all her bones and her four limbs, okay, on the verge of death. And yet, she finished making the offerings and then went home. Okay, the home symbolizes the five stars. Anyways, beyond the realm. Yes.
Just curious, how do you break your bones? Say you were sitting on a chair.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That's a lot of force. That's a lot of force coming from the anxiety. Okay, because the anxiety, your body becomes too tense and you become brittle. I don't know if that helps enough. Okay, but she has tremendous power. You would be amazed, folks. This is a very good point. I struggle with that. So you would be amazed at what you're capable of doing when you are state of heightened anxiety. You're a different person. Mm-hmm. You find that?
Yes.
Not only you, any of us. I relate to you a story that's told by word of that radio show. The rest of the story. Harvey something?
Paul Harvey.
He died, yeah. Paul Harvey. Thank you. He related on the story that he was told by a farmer. He said one day the farmer was out in the field working, okay. And he was driving his tractor and the tractor tipped. And he was stuck underneath the tractor. And he's dying. The tractor's pretty heavy. So his son, who was 19 or 20 in the farmhouse, somehow became aware of that. He ran up, okay? While his father, the farmer, was not able to pull himself from underneath the tractor, his young son, a 19, 20-year-old, came over, got to the tractor, and he lifted up with his own hands and pulled his father out. Okay? And dropped the tractor down and brought his father to the hospital. So his son, in a state of anxiety, could lift thousands of pounds with his bare hands. And he never could do it again the rest of his life. At one time. Okay? So, amazing things happen. Alright? Any other questions? So, instead of resting, okay, clue, resting. No, she didn't rest. She then sat upright. Upright here means either half a full lotus, okay, not comfortable, like some of you.
Things are already broken.
And recited. To recite here is to contemplate the Buddha's name one day and one night. Okay? And then she enters samadhi and forgot about the pains. So far so good? We are on slide 249. Moving on to slide 250. After a day and a night, she suddenly saw herself beside a sea whose waters seethed and bubbled. Many evil beasts with iron bodies flew about the sea, rushing to the east and west. She saw hundreds of thousands of millions of men and women rising and sinking in the water, being far over seized and devoured by the evil beasts. She beheld yakshas as well, each with a different form. Some had many hands, some many eyes, some many legs, some many heads, sharp sword-like fangs protruded from their mouths, and they drove the offenders on toward the evil beasts. Some yakshas seized the offenders and twisted their heads and feet together in myriad horrifying shapes at which none would dare look for long. Yaksha and Karakas. Yaksha sometimes is spelled with an H and sometimes without an H. I'm trying to be consistent here. Okay. Slide 253. Saw. She saw. The eighth consciousness, okay, flew there. So this is a form of astral body, if you will. It's funny how you mentioned, that group mentioned the Vietnamese externalist group, pretty famous. Their purpose to cultivate is they send the astral body out and travel. Right? That's the angle. Very, very large following in Vietnam. Very famous. Even here in this country, they have lots of still have a large following. And the guy used to be a playboy, you know that? He's a playboy big time. How come Luke knows about that? Anyway, she was at home, but then she entered samadhi and her astral body left, the eighth consciousness left, and flew there through the house. Okay? And it's not an hallucination, folks. When you sit for a long time, with undeviating single-mindedness, that's when it happens. See all the Tom and all those guys, they don't understand the principles behind it. Mm-hmm. So their cultivation kind of happens. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. You can develop skills to actually do that. And Master Srinivasa has some disciples who can do that. Okay. So I know some other monks who can do that as well. But some non-monks who can do that as well. Typically, you must open the five eyes before you can see things. But actually, here, in this case here, this is some of the cultivation details. You may not care about this. In here, her spiritual nature left her flesh body, and that's how the spiritual eyes open up. Now you can freely use it, and then you can see ghost spirits, bodhisattva, and Buddha. Simple, isn't it? That's a recipe, by the way. Would you like a copy of this slide, anyway? Online, anyway. Okay, 254. Somebody may want to know, how come the Buddha make such a big deal out of it? Why doesn't he simply tell her where her mother went? And made her go back home, sit upright, but she's sincere enough. Right? So why not? Because worldly people are covered by ignorance. They don't recognize good and evil, cause and fruition, cause and effect. So therefore, he uses this Brahmin woman's personally witnessing the suffering in hell to give us a warning for us skeptical and stupid people. Purpose behind the story. And therefore, hopefully, when you hear about the hells, which we will find out more about details about the hells, it's not a fun place to be. It's a lot of suffering. Okay? And therefore, as we learn more, we progress deeper in the sutra, when we begin to realize that evil cannot be done and good cannot be not done. You know about that. Right? Questions? 255. Stupidity. So we plant all these seeds of stupidity. So what brings it about? Okay? When you're stupid, means your mind is closed. You don't understand, yet you refuse. You refuse to open your mind. Okay? You see the Buddha, and yet you do not ask for help. You see sutras, and yet you do not read. You see the Sangha, and yet you do not offer to be of service. you see your parents and you're not respectful. You're not mindful of the world's sufferings, and you not know about effects and sufferings in the house. That is stupidity. Questions, comments? Okay. Let me ask you this then. Since you have no question, I have a question for you. When you go to college, you go to school, which part of this do you learn? Mm-hmm. To make yourself smart people and wise people and savvy people and superior people in the world, of course.
In college?
Yes.
Probably no.
One. Number one. First one, right?
You try to understand a different way. So
yeah.
Because you gain a knowledge, if you are not close to this kind of.
Not all of them will be able to are receptive to it. For example, I heard of this. What's this? Some people are totally against religion. If the moment you utter that you're Buddhist or Mormon or Catholic or something, they think you're stupid. What's his name? Ted Turner thinks that being Catholic is for. He said, right? Ted Turner, he saw his ex-wife, Jane Palmer, who's a devout Catholic. He said, is it for what? Stupid people or something like that, right?
And Bill Maher thinks the same.
Yeah, but he's too comical, so you can't take him seriously either. Yeah, I mean he's a devout, an ardent non-believer,
right.
Okay, to the point of extreme actually, he's real extreme about it.
Yeah.
But lots of very successful, even scientists, look down on religion.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are closed.
Virus database has been updated.
Thank you. Yeah.
But the Einstein's not against them.
No, Einstein. You can tell Einstein is not. How can you tell? Look at his eyes. His eyes are like this. You know that? Look at his picture. Not when he's older, and not when he's younger. Younger doesn't count. Okay. When he's old, you look at his picture when he's with the gray hair and this kind of hair and he's like this. His eyes are like this. Right?
Yeah.
No? No way?
Yeah. You're right.
Okay, when you have wisdom, that's how your eyes will become. See, my eyes are not like that. Eventually, it will be. No, I'm serious. This is a teleonomy. That's the Chinese knowledge again. So you go like this, when your eyes will like this. Not the Chinese where the eyes will like this, or the Japanese. That's the wisdom in you. Yes, go like this. Okay? That's very wise people.
But there are those very high intelligent people that have been looked on, down on,
yes.
If they had any kind of religious involvement at all.
Right.
I mean, you were not respected at all if you had religion mixed in.
Right.
Freud was one.
Yeah. So what's so great about it? Your mind, when your mind is closed,
right.
There's so much in your mind you don't understand. So what's so great about it? Yeah. Right? They don't get it. They don't get it. All right. Now, to be disrespectful for academia and intelligent people of the world. I'm just saying that. I'm just trying to point out to you that the other channel is for developing analytical skills and skills that are important to society, which makes you marketable to society, folks. That's important. You cannot ignore that. Right? But that's not the total package. There's a lot more to knowledge, to life than just that. This is why the successful people in the world are unbalanced. Because they lack this. therefore they're not happy. The overwhelming majority of successful people are not happy. You buy that? Why do we have to accept it? Is that the price of success? Is it the price of education? You decide for yourself. Okay. Next slide, 256. I mentioned the yakshas, which is a ghost. So what happens there is the lady saw millions of men and women broke out, okay, and they can outsmart some of the evil beasts, but then they run into the ghosts. These ghosts are very fast. They call speedy ghosts. That's why they're yakshas. They come in many forms and shapes. And then they toy with the convicts. They contort their bodies in different shapes. Okay. And the funny thing about this is that when evil karmas come to an end, they will no longer see these ghost beasts. So, as a result of their retribution, they see all these things coming and harass them and give them a hard time. All right?
This is in hell, right?
In hell.
Can you see the yaksha here in your world? If you have some...
Yeah, evil. They're here. They're not only in the house, they're here.
Right.
Yeah. Well, some of them, the good ones, yeah, the good ones, they are in the assembly. They are the Dharma protectors. Meaning we have invisible beings who are guarding the way for us. Okay. Keeping things in order. So that we are not disrupted by the troublemakers.
You should tell the people too that seek spiritual penetrations, when they see the heavens, they also see the hells.
Yeah.
You see everything.
You don't just see the good, you see the bad too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How else are you going to learn? Okay? Any other questions? During this time, the Brahmin woman on slide 257. During this time, the Brahmin woman was calm and fearless because of the power of recollecting the Buddha. A ghost king named Poisonless bowed and came to welcome the holy woman and said, "Good indeed." Typo here. O Bodhisattva, what conditions have brought you here? Excuse me, I need to make a correction to the text here. And I'm back in business. The typo on 257 has been corrected. Okay. Whoa. Time's up.
We're going too fast today. No controversies, no nothing. So
I'll ask question.
Yes, question.
Why did the ghost king call her Bodhisattva?
Oh, that's in the next slide.
Okay.
Bodhisattva, because he realizes that he bowed and became very respectful. He calls her Bodhisattva because he realizes that she's no ordinary woman. The ghost king has spiritual power. He's seen convicts. He's seen prisoners, all kinds of prisoners. Okay, he's seen visitors as well. The guy's around, so he knows. He calls the Bodhisattva to show respect.
But this happened while she was in the house, right?
Yes. Any other questions? Lucky for me, time is up, so I don't need to make more excuses. I'll be flying today. This is cool. The first time I finished 30 slides.
You call it 30 slides?
Yeah, but that's because we skipped the Chinese and Vietnamese.
That's the Chinese line.
If the Vietnamese, I probably go to 10 or 15. Yes?
I seem to notice that if you don't mind, if we take the next few minutes, during our circumambulating, we've seemed to be losing our order, that we seem to follow. And I was wondering if you could explain that to us one more time as to how, what the order is, and when the men come back to take their place and when the women take their place, that kind of.
We're doing it right this morning. This morning we did it right.
No, I did it wrong.
Well, oh, that's you. You don't count. So.
Oh.
Okay. The order is the left on people first, and then the monk before the nun. Okay, and then the five precept sashes first, and the black robes first.
The wood fish after.
Yeah, the wood fish after me, because we together.
Right.
Okay. But that's the only exception, and the rest of you is men before women if you're wearing the same thing. But the sash first, black robe, and then wood top robes. Does it help?
But men first, then women.
Yeah, men first, women.
Okay.
Typically,
always.
Yes, always. It's a etiquette that you women are supposed to show the men, even though you don't think much of them. Okay, so basically it's an etiquette thing that says that this is how we show our order, our order, and actually it's a yin yang thing because you guys are yin predominant, we are yang predominant, even though we're slower and so on, but it doesn't matter, okay, which is more So the yang is supposed to lead so that we take the beating for it. So you begin, you have all kinds of time to pull strings and plan, analyze. And so see, the man serves a different purpose because our yang nature.
Sure.
Isn't that? You look at man and say, man, he's so slow.
And then when you hit the gong and we start to...
Then you put the palms together and you...
Okay,
and
we start to recite.
And then the men go in first. Same thing.
The men come in first?
Yes, and then women.
Okay. Now, if it's... But the nun...
The only exception is when you follow the lead person. The nun has to come first. The person who walks first has to go in first before the rest can come in. By gender.
So if it's...
If there's a nun walking, then you have to wait for her to come in first. It's an act of deference, and then you follow. There's an order to show deference, to show respect. Okay? Even if you have no respect in your mind, you're learning how to be respectful. Okay? Folks, the more you cultivate, the more respectful you become. Especially you young people, you learn to be respectful towards older. You guys don't learn that anymore nowadays, which is a shame to me. Young people need to learn to be more respectful towards older kids. They have so much they can teach us. And if you're not respectful, they're not going to teach you.
So on the wood fish person, are they to come in with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not a part of So then it's the fellas go around and they come in, and then the women follow and we come in.
You always wait for the lead person to come in first, and then by gender you can follow suit.
But if that lead,
In Long Beach, since the men go in first, so the women finish this side, the men continue to finish their side last. So it's confusing.
That's what it's
confusing. That's the confusing.
Yeah.
the men do it first.
Yeah.
And then the women come
yeah.
in.
Okay. That's because that's because at Long Beach it's nuns that's leaving.
Yeah.
Here it's
Long Beach they're lucky to have Randy there, otherwise no, or Danny there, that's it, no other man available.
But if we do have a nun though and she comes in first, we don't follow her, do we? I mean, or do we still wait for the men to come in first and then
you follow the So when
I think she comes in after the fellas do.
No.
She comes in before.
As soon as she comes in, that's when you follow suit.
Yeah, we women follow her.
That's the rule
so
of thumb.
The men start this way, and then they come in this
right,
way.
Right. You don't take initiative.
Yeah.
You go by gender, and you follow suit with the lead person.
Mm-hmm.
If the lead person comes in, then you come in.
Yeah.
And then the other group comes in.
Mm-hmm. And without her...
Then the men come in.
Then
first.
The men would come in first. And
right. The lead person has to make a move first. So the lead person could be without the left of people, it could be a person with a good sash or a black robe. That still becomes the lead.
Right,
yeah.
So like this morning, if you are right, Hondan supposed to be the lead.
Right.
Then she's going to come in.
Right.
And all the woman's gonna come in, and then we come in
right.
later.
So, for example, let's say you were going first, and then you go on this time. That's when I hit the bell. That's when you go amigo. That's when you come in.
Okay, but then you guys need to sit in the proper rows.
Right.
The robes up front.
Yeah.
Because then.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as we file.
When we go out, they can.
Yeah. When we file, sometimes it's not always possible. Preferably because some of them like to sit wherever they want. But anyway, when you walk together, try to keep the order. Then it's easier when you go back to the office.
So the lead person really depends on the robes and the sashes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the reason for that is that the robe, sash, or the status is really based on precepts,
right.
Which is what virtues. Okay. The more precepts you take. The more virtuous a person, of the Dharma you are cultivating. And we show respect for that. It's not age, it's virtues. It's not gender. Well, not always. Okay, yes.
Last question. Out of respect and honor of what we're going to be doing here on the 13th of June with our assembly. Do we all come in our robes and sashes?
Yeah, you should.
Yes.
Because, okay, that's a good question. Oh, you don't know about that. We have an assembly on the 13th where we recite the Buddha's name for the entire day.
Okay.
Can you give me my computer back, please? Somewhat, who can walk around without. Thank you. So we have a flyer here called. Do we actually? Yeah. Okay.
So we can we send a flyer by email?
Yeah, you can send it down. I have a flyer, I have printed it. I'm leaving a couple here for the nun. I have give one to the non-computer person here, and this is Ryan's Geronimo mentor here. Okay, so we have some, and this is the laminating. Okay.
Is it all printed?
Yeah. And this is the flyer. Yeah. And that's the first installment. Okay.
We have
a laminator.
This is the lunch hall?
No, the lunch hall, yeah.
We James, did you email the last one?
Yeah, I have it.
For lunch hall? That was correct.
Yeah, I got that. So, anyway, so we have a practice. You may want to join us for that day if you agree.
Is it here?
Yeah, it's going to be here. And so that day, folks, is a big deal. It may be a rehearsal for us, but it's a big deal for a lot of people who will come here to join us. Okay. I don't know about the physical people, but I do anticipate a lot of people coming from all directions.
When they stay for the whole day, when they come in for the whole day, or?
No, not necessarily. Doesn't matter.
How many people should we prepare for lunch?
We don't know. It's a non problem. It's a roast meat problem. They offer the hand of the lunch.
I talked to that Alice, and that's not how she understands, and now she doesn't have the manpower to do the work. So we have a sign up list of all of us who take care of that lunch.
Really?
Yeah. We're gonna do potluck.
We're gonna plan
like 25.
Yeah, that's
about it. Yeah. So we have a sign up list here already.
We already.
Okay. Let's do that.
But besides this, do we need to bring stuff for the offer?
She said. She told me that she would handle. She would offer up the food. Take care of the food. Because that's the first question I asked. I have no control of lunch. So apparently plans have changed a little bit, but that's all right. We can have it.
This way. Yeah.
It's not.
She
not
will probably make something.
Yeah.
It's not really.
See to it that something is.
Yeah. What happened is that there are two groups of people here, folks. Okay. So these Dharma assembly are a big deal because they're there. This is then the occasion where we can cultivate the Pure Land assembly. Okay. Those are the group of people who are in. Who are intent on reciting the Buddha's name, cultivating the Dharma, they don't care about anything else. Okay? And there's a group of people that's cultivation of wisdom. And there's a group of people who are there because they want for fun or whatever, but there's another serious group who wants to cultivate blessings. Okay? So eventually when we stabilize, there's like the people who are more interested in coming and cook for the assembly. And then bow the Buddhas and clean and dust the statues and then they leave that's all they want. Okay. So they are perfectly aware of that. When I did it in San Jose, there was a lady who came to me and said, "I'm sorry, I'm not joining your assembly. I'm not bowing with you. I'm not reciting Buddha's name with you. But I'm in the kitchen." Okay, because I know I want to accrue my blessings so that I have enough blessings to cultivate in the future. Right now, that's all I can do. Okay, and they realize it. So that when you have a temple, when people, you know, the problem, are we recording? The problem with the temple is that they're not cultivating anymore. Mm-hmm. They are only doing with the experiments, the healing, that kind of crap. Okay, and therefore, the faithful do not take them seriously. Typically, you go to temple, usually are people who will take care of the lunch and the cooking and the cleaning and all those things. Okay, but we eventually we get there. It's all right. One way or the other. That's why this morning when I talked about a temple location and that kind of thing, if you have a temple that's accessible, you will find a lot of these older ladies coming around to volunteer their time. Tons of them. Because that's what turns them on. Okay? And we take care of them because all they want is maybe work a little bit, half an hour, helping cook and that kind of thing. And then we have room for them to rest. They rest. Okay? So they need a space where they go and they feel comfortable, feel calm, and they don't mind helping. So we help them. Instead of sitting home and watching TV or doing something else meaningless, they go here and work, they plan the blessings, and then they calm themselves down and then they plant the seeds for rebirth. So that's what the temple is supposed to do for all the folks. This is why the Pure Land Dharma is very important. Okay, we can help a lot more people. Okay, who need it right now. Okay? That's why I apologize for my confusion because I thought it was being handled, but I guess you are in control. You're handling that. So we need to talk. I will talk to her and see about past events, how many people she expects. We need to find out because she's going to send out the invitation. Mm-hmm. Because they have no really serious Dharma events here at the temple. So if we have Dharma assemblies here, once we have a regular basis, I hope they do this once a month. Okay. Then they know about it and they start coming. Okay? But I will tell you that the invisible beings will be here. It will be a big deal for them. That's why it's good to be adorned. Okay, to wear the robes and the sashes if you have them. Any other questions? Yes. You don't realize it. I will tell you this. That day, we're going to provide a lot of help. You know how? Behind me.
Yeah.
They're not getting any help from me right now. On that day, we have the ceremony. On what page is that? The long life transferences? Or rebirth transferences on the flyer.
Oh, we go to the Oh.
This is when they get.
Oh.
Right now they're not getting from me. So that day, okay, we give it to them. That Dharma may even send them for rebirth right away. We'll provide healing for these people back here.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't think I owe them anything. I don't owe the temple, anyone, anything. Okay? We have room to pay. Yes?
Is all rebirth plaques or debtors plaques also?
Debtors plaques.
Go on debtors.
They have all kinds. They have debtors. Debtors
also?
Yeah, debtors. So what happened is that sometimes the people who come here to participate, who dream of beings coming to them to ask for help. Okay? So that particular Dharma event since assembly here is remember I told you about 1,000 people? That's the temporary class. This is what the Chinese Dharma has and Vietnamese does not. That is, that particular Dharma, that particular temporary class there, is for one day or for 1 week or for 3 weeks, it's the same price. Okay? So what happens, you sponsor a class to help them. Okay? And that is a very big deal, folks. Why is that? It's not the same as the normal ones. Because of the participants. That's why if we do it right, the big shots come and we have tremendous firepower. So these things will are even more effective.
You mean Bodhisattvas and things?
Bodhisattvas and great Bodhisattvas will come. The city 10,000 Buddhas. When I was there, I left from person as well, a regular person. Bodhisattvas manifest themselves as in the flesh. To teach. They say, you're doing it wrong. Okay? So if you're sincere, you really want to cultivate. They'll come and support us. So in essence, they are helping us execute all these dharmas to help cross these beings over.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Okay? Unlike every weekend we do is for our own. We practice and we work. This is kung fu, our own kung fu. But on these dharma assemblies, it's relying on their power. The firepower as well. In addition to the house. That's why the Dharma Assembly is a very big event.
Mm-hmm. they get no
see,
benefit.
See, the Dharma Yeh does not explain this because you guys take it for granted. Okay? And that's why the Dharma gets lost. The Vietnamese doesn't know, they don't even have it. Doesn't even realize the importance of that.
They get no benefit from us being here?
Well, they do, but not.
Not like
our intent. Our intent is cultivation. We not.
Oh.
On that particular day, the two periods of day times where we do a transference, long life transference, meaning helping people with the medicine master Buddha Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
That Dharma day, that's what we do it for that particular purpose. And then we do a rebirth transference for those types of beings.
With that intent.
With that intent. But here today is for reciting a Buddha's name and for investigating principles. It's not the same. We're not doing any transfers directly for that benefit. I tell you this personal experience when I was in Taichung in Taiwan learning precepts. The temple there is next to a cemetery. The temple in Taichung specializes on teaching precepts for bhikshus only. Not even for bhikshunis, only bhikshus. Okay? So it's right next to a huge cemetery. Because this is, because it used to be a long, long time ago, you know, back then in Taiwan, you know, to get a cemetery because you're far away from the city. Now they keep on spreading, now they have the temple happened to be next to the cemetery. So back then, in my young days, I had this thought. I said every day when I cultivate, I recite the Da Bei Dzhou, the Great Compassion Mantra every day. Okay, and I recite a lot of it every day. So every day I would transfer the merit and virtues of my cultivation to my Dharma protectors and the local spirits. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving away. I say, okay, I dedicate I transfer my merit and virtue to say thank you for protecting me, thank you for helping me, and thank you for cooperating with me. Okay? And so I did it every day. And one day, they sent us out to do ceremonies. We invited out to do ceremonies. So well, that one day, I was tied up the entire day, so I didn't do it. Okay? I was reminded by my neighbor. Said, please do not forget to dedicate your great compassion mantra for us.
Your neighbor?
That's how the cemetery.
Oh.
they're so grateful. Small time monk like myself. That's how big the benefits are. Now you have the big guns coming here to help these beings.
Mm-hmm.
Very big deal. Okay? That's why it's a major event for us if we do it right. Yes. Yes. I will explain that. I probably enlist some help to do that. But that's when you use the occasion to rely on the big guns to provide special help on that particular day. Make sense? That's what the assembly is meant to do. Because if we organize it, we want to cultivate and we sincerely invite them to come here to participate and receive the offering, they help out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nature of the Dharma itself. Okay? That is all, those are the airstrikes, if you will. Okay? So you need the army infantry for daily, to take care of the daily business. Even now, then you can call an airstrike. for additional effects. Make sense? That's the nature of the tool available to us. Yes.
So the offering, do we need to also to think about the offering as flower and?
Yeah, if you like. I think you don't have to worry about that because they have their own already. You see all kinds of things here already. But I'm so at this point here concerned about lunch because we want to make sure that there's enough for people to eat, but not enough to overwhelm us either. Okay. So we need to be patient initially. Okay. Well, but I tell you, most temples I've been through, I have never had any problems with food in any event, because there are always people who are interested in working in the kitchen and helping out. I'm surprised that she doesn't have any. So. It'd be interesting to find out how we deal with it. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Master, I would like to offer thanks to the Abbess for allowing us to use this facility today. She didn't have to do that, and I thought that was very generous of her to allow us to come in and give us the key that we didn't have to lose a day of
very nice of her. You know,
really
glad I'm glad you brought it up because we should express our thanks. I will do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that. If this is a nice gesture, an act of kindness, and I will tell her so. That will come from all of you that we appreciate her kindness.
Thank you.
Okay. Only from you, right? For me, it's an extra day, so. Any other questions?
They pay you overtime. Give you 1.5 times
you hope.
You
hope. I haven't seen a table yet, so I haven't seen the rate table yet. So.
It's invisible.
Anything else? Yes.
Jack asked if we will be broadcast online.
Should we?
I don't know if it makes sense. It's not lecture, right? We could just do a. We just recite and sit and recite, right?
Well, at least we will broadcast the lecture time. The lecture times.
It's in the afternoon.
Afternoon, we still have the broadcast. Okay, is that the schedule is online yet? Why isn't it online yet? The agenda, the flyer.
I don't have the agenda. I don't know.
Hey, the Hong Kong lady. How come we don't sending out the flyers yet? Is it ready?
I send out my final version to you.
Okay. Let me send it to you. So it's my fault. I'm used to it. Okay. So it is. We'll post it online, right? Somehow we can post it online.
I'll put it on the main page.
Okay. I will do that. I will send you the flyer this afternoon. Yeah. And then basically in the afternoon, like 1 or 2 p.m., we have a lecture on, as usual, on Saturday, but we shift the hour a little bit, the time a little bit. And then we have a small lecture, a small Dharma talk during lunch as well. We broadcast us as well. Okay? Yes?
Are you going to, is the day going to be in bilingual, both Vietnamese and English?
And Chinese.
Chinese?
Yeah.
Three,
if there is Chinese, if it's needed, translation is needed. I know that the young lady, Vietnamese lady in the back here, who's now went to the CCTV today, this weekend, mm-hmm. She probably wants translation. She'll be here, I think. So you may want to enlist her support, her help in cooking. Okay? Folks, It's not everyone who's crazy like you who wants to cross the legs and cultivate. Most of them are perfectly happy if you ask them to help out half an hour here, half an hour there in the kitchen, or do whatever you need to do. They'd love to do it. That's why, that's my attitude. You come in here, it's okay to help out first, okay? And then naturally you then feel like reciting the Buddha's name or guru or the mantra or whatever, like it's gonna happen naturally. The Vietnamese are very good about it actually. The Vietnamese are not like crazy about cultivation. The Chinese are not like crazy about cultivation, they're easier with their checkbook. The Vietnamese are not crazy about cultivation either. They're not easy with checkbooks, but they're easy with the labor. So they're willing, really willing to help. Okay? All right. Any other questions?
Just out of curiosity, what's the dress or type of lay people who is like, you know?
What?
What's the dress attire for like lay people? I mean, for people who doesn't have sashes or black robes. Or it doesn't matter.
Or just dress cleanly and comfortably. Don't wear tight jeans or anything like that. It's gonna, you're gonna have a hard time with that. So come with I don't know, sweatpants or something. Because you don't want jeans. What? You like jeans? That's fine. You prefer jeans? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying that in the long haul, you cross your legs for a long time. Jeans is not gonna help. You want some loose clothing. Okay. Yeah.
I think it depends who you ask to. If you ask the abbess, she would like you to wear a dress shirt with long sleeve for the men. Mm-hmm. Yes. She has approached a walk to let him know that t-shirt is not appropriate for the temple. So that's how you notice when he comes in the walk. He wears a dress shirt and
no such requirements. You get ignored. I'm sorry. It's all right. It's my assembly. No. See, this is what we think. It's all right. It's okay to ask the dress up, but you know, to me, it's not that important. Okay. I'm not worried about that. We come with people who are dressed up and they're up to something. That would bother me. Okay. And those people are not encouraged to come back. I didn't encourage them. So you hear the call today, I can't care less what you wear. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're comfortable with is fine with me. But on that day, try to dress the sashes or to show respect for our guests. Okay? That's what you would want to do, because that's the kind of affinity you want to create with them. Okay. Respectfulness. Show your respect. Learn to do that when you give them the chance.
So the schedule will be posted on the internet, on the website. Do you still want me to go ahead and email it to you?
Sure, we should email it to people because none of them are going to get to our website.
Okay.
I'm leaving a couple here with them so that they...
It's a trilingual one, right? You want me
the trilingual.
The final version.
Right. I give you the final version where mine is like a 1.5, this is 12 points. The 1.5 a little bit neater. This is. Anyway, I send you the final version. I just changed this morning.
Oh, okay.
Because I printed last night and looked at it and I'm like, this is too close to the margin, so aesthetically it's not clean. So I changed the size to 1.5 instead of 12. And it comes out cleaner.
Okay, you go ahead and name that version to me and
I do that. You want me to do it right now? Oh, no, never mind.
Okay,
anything else?
No.
No? Sure now?
It's time, yeah.
Never mind, they don't care. You don't need to look polite.
Well, I have to do it.
Okay, fine. So, that's rule transference and then, how's that? Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
See you next time.
That's why you're wearing a college shirt those weeks.
I was like, why are you and Jane so dressed up?
And that's why I'm wearing a t-shirt today.